Heavenly Father, Lord, we just thank you. Lord, we thank you for all the children and teens in this church. Lord, we ask for a blessing on them downstairs right now. Lord, we ask as they're heading down, Lord, that, Father, we pray that they would learn more about you, that they would be encouraged in their walks. And those who don't know you yet, Lord, would see a greater picture of who you are, Lord. And we ask that that they would come to faith in you. Lord, we pray that we would raise our children not just in the church, but in Jesus Christ. Father, that we would raise them in the truth of your word. And we just thank you for all the people who minister and serve with the children, in all the different areas of the church, Lord. We ask for a blessing upon all of them, Lord. And Father, just as we come to your word right now, upstairs with the adults, Lord, we ask, Father, we pray that we would be growing in our understanding of prayer. Lord, we pray that we would be growing in our intimacy with you. Father, as we really look at the battle that there is for our minds from the world, from so many competing areas in life, Father, we desire to be to have truth, the truth of your word, to be free from being anxious. Lord, free from doubt and shame and fear. Lord, we just pray that you would be leading us in this battle for our minds, Lord. And so as we turn to your word, Lord, to speak to us now, get me out of the way. We pray that you'd bless this time and use it for your glory. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. All right. So guys, there is a battle that is going on for our minds. I really believe that. We have so much information in the world around us. Most people, as you all know, have phones, and the phones tend to be kind of with people's. Have you ever seen a teenager who does not have their phone in their hand? You know what they're doing? They're looking for it. But I don't think it's just teenagers, is it? It's a little bit addicting in some ways, isn't it? I remember watching on, it was 60 Minutes. They had a show where there was this, they were showing these women who were without their phones for a few days. And it showed just the extreme struggle that they were going on days one and two. And then all of a sudden, how they started to be able to have conversations with people and talk face to face on day three and four. And after a week of having no phone, they were talking to them and they were all talking about, oh, this has been a great experience. We're loving it. And when we get our phones back, we're not going to go into the same thing. So they handed them on screen their phone. And instantly, the interview was over because they started to, and all that great. There is a battle going on for our minds. And it's not just technology, but that's one of the ways that in some ways the flesh is weak and comes into that. And it's also another way that the enemy speaks in. And so, man, how do we deal with it? And as we're looking at, we're in our second week of really looking at prayer and how prayer leads to kingdom living. One of the things that is a real challenge for us is, how can I be focused on kingdom living if my mind is always somewhere else? And how do I deal with the anxiety that's created by a world that's so fast-paced and everybody's putting on these lives that are online, and everybody's lives look more exciting than mine online? And so, you know, you've got a lot of people wanting to show how wonderful their world is, and everybody's putting kind of a false world out there about their own lives, and then everybody's feeling bad because they think, well, everybody else's lives are so incredible, and mine doesn't match up. And so there's all this anxiety and concern and fear, and how do we be quiet and still before God? That's what we're going to be looking at today, the battle for our minds and how we can find peace in a world, in a world that is just, it's going 100 miles a minute. It's just never ending. It's always go, 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 go. So let's turn to Philippians 4, starting in verse 1. Therefore, my beloved and longed for brethren, my joy and crown. So stand fast in the Lord, beloved. I implore you, Yodia, and I implore you, Syntyche, to be of the same mind in the Lord. And I urge you also, true companion, help these women who labor with me in the gospel, with Clement also and the rest of the fellow workers whose names are in the book of life. So it's kind of an interesting beginning as you've got a situation here. You've got these two women who were in the Philippian church, and they're obviously at odds with each other. There's some tension. You ever had tension with somebody? You ever had somebody in the church that caused you a little tension, or at work, or at home? Don't ask my wife that question. All right. Man, what is it, man, when we've got these relationships that aren't quite right, where there's something wrong, where there's a disconnect, and how do we deal with this disconnect? Paul encourages them to what? He first encourages, hey guys, we need to make it right. So one of the things that causes really the anxiety is to allow those relationships that are amiss or really hurting to go on the way they are. Have you ever been in a situation where you just had that sick feeling in your stomach because you have that relationship that's not right and you don't deal with it? And you think, okay, it's getting better and time kind of heals all wounds, right? But it doesn't. What we tend to do with time is we tend to bury things and we don't feel the immediate thing in our minds and bodies, but our bodies are actually processing it. And we can get sick to our stomachs, we can have ulcers, we can have all kinds of stomach problems and health issues that come from burying this anxiety, which is from broken relationships. And so not only is it important physically, but mentally and emotionally, when something's wrong between Julie and I, that affects me as a person, and it's hard. If I don't make things right with my wife, it's very hard for me to have right relationships with others without it in the back of my head. Because relationships that have gone bad affect all of our relationships and us as a whole. Worry often comes when we don't make things right with people. Now, what do you do when you want to make things right and you can't because the other person is unwilling to make it right? We've all been there too, haven't we? Man, it's tough. It's tough. How do we deal with it? Do we have to just live with that gut thing that's wrong? Or is there something that we can do? And I think that the key is when we can make things right with another, we do that. And here we see Paul telling these two women, hey, work it out. But when we can't, we can still turn to God for prayer. And we can be right in the Lord. And as much as possible, have an open door with the person that's not forgiving us or in relationship with us. And we can still be, as far as it goes with us, in the right place, mentally, spiritually, and emotionally. We must face differences honestly and do what God wants us to do. Matthew 6:10 says, Our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be your name. And verse 10, it says, Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. And we know that our Father, that God himself, wants right relationship. Why did Jesus Christ die on the cross? So that we could be right with him, right? So relationships being in the right place are important to God. So important that God sent his Son, Jesus Christ, to die on the cross for our sins so that sin could be dealt with and so that death could be dealt with. Because when Adam and Eve sinned, when sin came in, it's affected everyone ever since. We're born with imputed sin. We're born with sin that's just a part of us. You might think, well, children are surely... I think anybody who thinks children are without sin has not had a child. Because, man... Even at baby age, I mean, I love holding babies. But you know what? what's great about holding babies now that I don't have babies is I get to give them back when they start crying. Man, have you ever seen even a little baby child when it doesn't get what it wants, even if that's just attention? It'll throw a fit. With children, have you been at the grocery store when, you know what they do at the grocery store? They put all the goodies. See, there we go. I'm telling you. Right. Thank you so much. Right on cue. June, can you let her know that I've got the payment later. All right. Perfect timing. All right. But have you ever noticed that when you go to pay for your groceries, that the store, they know how children are. So they put all the goodies and the little yummy goodies and the gum and the candy right by the cash register where you have to stop and wait for the next person in front of you. So the kids are sitting there with mom and dad and it's like, oh, candy. Mommy, candy, candy, candy. Why did I become British all of a sudden? I don't know. But candy. And so they want candy. And it's, man, there's this, there's something in us that wants what we want, and we have a God who says, you know what? I've come to make things right so that we don't have to be in that childlike state where when things are wrong, we don't deal with it. But we can have peace and joy. It's not about my will. It's not about your will. It's about God's will. And so how do we experience it? It goes on in verse 4. Rejoice in the Lord when? Okay, does anybody have a problem with this part? Rejoice in the Lord always. Anybody have a morning that was less than perfect getting to church? How about last night? How did your football teams do? All right? Rejoice in the Lord. Hey, we lost, right? It's hard to rejoice in the Lord always. But rejoice in the Lord always. And then he, as the Lord does, when it's something that's worth hearing and worth focusing on, he repeats it. He wants us to really focus, to chew on this truth for a while. Rejoice in the Lord always. Again, I say rejoice. Rejoice. Let your gentleness be known to all men. The Lord is at hand. You see, the reason that we can rejoice is the Lord is at hand. The Lord is with us. And so no matter what we're going through, whether it's a wonderful situation or unbelievably difficult, the Lord is with us. He says, I'll never leave you or forsake you. And so we have God with us in everything we're going through. And we have a God who knows what it's like to go through the challenges of life. Because God humbled himself and Jesus came and lived a life without sin. But he went through all the relationships. Think of his time with the disciples. And he had a group of 12 guys that he traveled around with. You don't think that had its issues? These guys are always kind of jockeying for their position of who's the greatest, who's the best. And he keeps giving them lessons on humility. And they keep saying, well, I'm better than you are. I'm closer to Jesus than you are. Over and over, he's teaching them that they don't get it. Over and over, he's giving them these lessons. And then when it comes time for him to die on the cross, what does he experience? He goes and he says, guys, come with me. Let's. I need you guys to be praying here. I'm going to be facing something unbelievable. I need you to be praying. And they fall asleep. And he comes back and they fall asleep. And you see, the challenge with Jesus is he's dealing with people just like us. But in the midst of that, because we have the Lord with us and he knows what it's like to struggle, he knows what it's like to be abandoned, he knows what it's like to be discouraged because of the actions of others, we have a God who knows and who can relate to us. And then it says in verse 6, be anxious for nothing. Anxious for nothing, but in everything, by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God, and the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. If anybody had an excuse for worrying, it was Paul. Paul had every reason to worry. His beloved Christian friends at Philippi were disagreeing with one another, and he's trying to speak in truth. Everywhere he goes, there's disagreement, and he's trying to speak in love and truth, and he was there to help them. We have no idea what these two women were arguing about. But whatever it was bringing division into the church. And so Paul is, he's got reason. Man, what's going on? Why is there all this discouragement and division in the church? Along with potential division at Philippi, Paul had to face division among the believers in Rome. So everywhere in Paul's life, there's reasons to be concerned. Over and over in the life of Paul, everything looks like it's falling apart. Added to these burdens was the possibility he knows that he's probably going to lose his life for speaking the truth of the gospel. And he's in fear in the sense of, from the earthly way, of, I don't know how much longer I have. And he sees how things are changing. He sees this, what's going on in the world. And you ever look at the situation around you and said, oh, Lord, help us. Help me. Paul knows exactly what you're going through. He had a good excuse to worry. But he shares with us just a real blessing. Instead of worry, he says, he takes this time to share with us the secret of victory over worry. And guys, I don't know about you, to have peace of mind in a broken world, that's worth knowing. That's worth knowing that, first of all, is it possible? When you look at the challenges with your children, your grandchildren, your loved ones, your co-workers, your parents, yourself, all the things that you're going through, it's so easy to become so focused on yourself as well as focused on the challenges of others that you love and care for. And all that weight, I promise you this, you were not built to carry the weight of worry. You're not. It will physically change you. It will emotionally bankrupt you. It will spiritually push you down. It will relationally discourage you. And so if we deal with these things in our own strength, we are going to deal with a lot of anxiety, a lot of fear, a lot of shame, a lot of guilt. And the enemy will be having a field day with us. And he'll be having just parties in hell because of our relationships with each other that are going sour. If anybody had an excuse, it was Paul. But he's sharing us just an incredible truth about victory over worry. So what is worry? The Greek word translated means anxious. Don't be anxious. And what that word means in verse 6 is to be pulled in two directions. So being anxious means literally to be pulled apart. Think about it. What a picture of worrying and anxiety. Being pulled apart. Our hopes pull us in one direction. Our fears pull us in another. And we're just being pulled apart. The old English root word for worry is, it means to strangle. To strangle. Worry and anxiety, it's like this feeling of strangling or drowning or, man, we're just being put upon and we don't know. If you've ever really worried, you know what that strangling feeling is like, what that being pulled apart feeling is like. And all the physical consequences, the headaches, the neck pains, the ulcers, the back pains, the stress, just saying it, I'm getting a little stressed out. I got to tell you. I better start practicing what I preach here. Man, worry affects our thinking and even our digestion. Yeah. And I love what it says here. It doesn't say, well, just pray about it. But it gives us a little bit more than that. It says, pray, petition, thanksgiving. It gives us three words. Three areas of focus: prayer, petition, thanksgiving. And they all are progressing to what? Peace. The peace of God. God's peace. And so I love what it says here. Be anxious for nothing, but in everything, by prayer and supplication and thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. And what happens? And the peace of God. Guys, the peace of God is different than man's peace. Man's peace is built on things going right, how you expected them to go. That, man, we all have these expectations in life, right? And if those expectations are met, okay, I can have peace. That's the world's peace. Guess what? In real life, does everything go the way you planned? Nothing goes the way you planned it. And so there's this constant anxiety. But what happens if it's the peace from God? And I love what it says here. And the peace of God, which what? Which surpasses all what? It doesn't make sense, the peace of God. It is so spiritually miraculous that it makes no sense. Because what it's saying here is, guess what? When everything's falling apart, when everything's going wrong, when nothing is what you planned on, guess what? You can have the peace of God. You don't have to live in anxiety and stress and fear and guilt. You can have the peace of God, not at the end of the tunnel when you're looking back and saying, oh man, look how God was there all the time. Guess what? God's there all the time. And in the midst of the worst moments of the struggle, you can have the peace of God. Has anybody ever experienced that? I have. I don't experience it a lot of the time. I got to be honest with you. A lot of the time I live in the flesh. And when the moment comes, I try and deal with it myself. And there are times where I don't put into what I'm sharing here. And as a result, I don't experience every time the peace of God which surpasses all understanding. But when I have come and just... God, I don't understand what's going on here, but I'm giving it to you right now. This relationship, it's broken, it's messed up. I don't know what to do to make it right. I've tried. I've talked. It hasn't been received well. I don't know what to do. I'm going to trust you, God. I'm going to trust you. I remember, well, for time's sake, I better not go into it. It's a long story, but. There's many times where God has allowed me to have peace in the midst of some of the most difficult times in my life. And guys, when you experience that, these are no longer words on a page. And they're not even words on a page that stress you out because you don't know what it's like to have peace in the midst of the storm. But when you have experienced the love of Christ in such a way that in the midst of the struggle, you're experiencing the peace of God. Those words, they mean so much. And my encouragement is when we hit those moments, I know when I do this, when I stop, slow down, be still before God, and pray. First, I go to him and thank him for who he is. We'll get into the line of how it is. But when I spend that time with him and I bring my concerns before him and I'm in his presence and I'm experiencing that intimacy with God, it's a beautiful thing, guys. And all of a sudden, all that anxiety, all that worry literally goes off my shoulders and the stress goes and I place it at the foot of the cross and it's his. And he takes it from me. Now, without that weight, now I can hear his truth. Because during all this time, guess what the enemy's doing? You call yourself a Christian, Matthew? You're even a pastor and you're struggling with this stuff. Boy, if everybody in your congregation knew that you struggled with these things, they wouldn't listen to a word you said on Sunday mornings. The enemy is just lying, 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 lying. Trying to make us feel guilt and shame and fear. We've got an enemy who is working overtime to crush us. He's like a roaring lion seeking who he may devour. And he does a lot of devouring. He's feasting all the time. But we don't have to let him feast on us. We don't have to be the prey. We can be victorious in Christ. And that's really what Paul's going over here. So they've got these struggles that they're going through, and added to these burdens is the possibility of his own death. And Paul's sharing this how we deal with with being victorious in a broken world with all the worry that is out there to have. And one of the things he's saying is, you know what? Through all this struggle that you're going through, you don't have to be stuck there. You don't have to live there. You can have those moments of worry, but they don't have to become your home. Guys, prayer, petition, thanksgiving, all progressing towards the peace in God. And from the spiritual point of view, worry is wrong thinking. It deals with the mind. Wrong feeling deals with the heart. About circumstances and people and things and all these things that are before us. And worry is the great thief of joy and peace. And God is giving us through the Word of God, through Paul sharing here, the answers. How do we deal with this worry? Guys, worry is an inside job. And it takes more than just good intentions to experience a victory. We can't just want things to get better and they get better. Or try harder. Remember that? Try it, rub some dirt on it, figure it out. Right? The antidote to worry is a secure mind. A secure mind. And the peace of God, it comes from a secure mind. And it shall keep. The word here is guard like a soldier. A garrison. It shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus in verse 7. What a picture. There's this protection and guarding of our minds. That God guards our minds. And so we've got what a beautiful picture it gives us of God's role in the process. That it's not us, but it's God doing the guarding and the work. When you have a secure mind, the peace of God guards you. It's not your peace, it's not your effort, it's God's work. And the God of peace guides you. And with that kind of protection, we don't have to be destroyed by worry. So if we're to conquer worry and experience the secure mind, we got to meet the conditions that God has put here. And he gives us three, and the first one is prayer. Okay, so right praying. And so let's go into this. Let's dive into this a little bit. Right praying. Paul does not write, pray about it, and then just leave it there. He tells us what praying, he is too wise to do that. He says, prayer, supplication, and thanksgiving. The word prayer here is the general word for making requests known to God. Making our requests known. It carries the idea of adoration, devotion, worship. First, we start out with who God is. Man, we need to spend some time. Guys, this is why we start with who God is. When we understand who God is and we focus there, the things of this world grow strangely dim. The challenges that we face don't seem so overwhelming because just like David with Goliath, when all the other men saw the giant and were undone and hiding for 40 days as Goliath comes out and gives his roar, David comes in, and what does he see? He sees this little pipsqueak in front of a gigantic God. He has the right vision. Why? Because he sees things properly, because his eyes understand who God is. Right praying. Whenever we find ourselves worrying, our first action ought to be to get alone with God and worship him for who he is. Spend some time enjoying God. Number one, it takes our eyes off of ourselves, our problems, and gets our eyes on a God who loves us and who is immense. Another thing that happens when we're dealing with the goodness of God is, guess what comes to mind? He's been faithful in the past. He's been faithful. And all of a sudden, when I spend time just in the presence of God, all of a sudden, I'm overwhelmed because I've got this God who, when I was in this situation and there was no way out, God provided a way. When I didn't know what to do here and this relationship was broke, God provided a way. When my dad and I were completely at odds and there was zero relationship, guess what? We're back in relationship. God provided a way. God's been faithful time and time and time again. And it's a beautiful thing. Adoration is what we need. Be just in awe of God enjoying his presence. We must see the greatness and the majesty of God and spend some time there. We must realize that he's big enough to solve our problems, not us. Guys, how great is it when you come to that place of realizing it's not in my hands? I don't have to fix this. Guys, that is so freeing. Those words, I don't have to fix this. Not only that, I can't fix this. But God, I'm going to trust you in the midst of it. And I'm going to trust that in the suffering of this broken relationship, in the suffering of going through this awful situation, I'm going to trust, number one, that your grace is sufficient. And I'm going to trust that there is blessing to be had here. In the worst of situations, there is blessing that it gets experienced by so many people. You know, you see people who go through awful things, and it's always amazing to me when you see somebody suffer, and they suffer well, and they honor God in the suffering, and they grow in the suffering, and they grow deeper in their walks with the Lord in the midst of the suffering, and they're whole. And nothing's changed on the outside yet. Guys, that's my prayer for us. Starts with right praying. Too often we rush into his presence without really telling him and we go straight to telling him our needs without really dealing with who he is. So the first step is right praying, is adoration. The second one is supplication. It's earnestly sharing our needs and problems, being real before God. After we've been in his presence, then we do what? Share your heart. This is where you know where I'm at mentally and emotionally. I need you in the midst of it. I don't know what to do. I don't know what steps to take. I don't know what to do to make it right. I need your help here. Sharing our needs. And guys, there's no place for half-hearted prayer. You know, so for so many people, prayer is, thank you, God, for this food. Amen. Give me a good night's sleep. Amen. God, bless my day. Amen. If that's your prayer life, imagine being married to somebody that's as deep as it ever goes. Hey, thanks for the meal, hon. Hey, hope you have a good night's sleep. Hey, have a good day. Can you imagine day in and day out with that type of intimacy? Who is this person I'm next to? Right? We want it with each other. Guess what? We need it with each other. We need it even more from our God. And we have a loving God who's giving that relationship to us, who's expressed himself through his word to incredible detail, who shares with us through his word who he is, who connects with us through prayer. Guess what happens in prayer? You listen. You don't just talk. Because if you just talk, you never learn, you never hear, you never grow. You know, so often I think, next time you're praying, and you're bringing something that's important up before the Lord, ask this question. God, what are you telling me? Next time you read through the Word of God, Holy Spirit, what are you wanting me to hear through this? What do I need to hear through this? And then just be quiet and listen and wait for an answer. Now, you might not get, Matthew, this is God. You might not get the vocal. I don't get the vocal voice. I wish I did. It'd make things so much easier. Hey, I'm listening. But I do over and over when I pray, what are you saying to me? I open his word. I seek it. I seek counsel of others. I go in prayer. And guess what happens? The same message keeps coming to the forefront, keeps coming to me through others, through situations. And then I take a step of faith and I move into that truth. And then guess what he does? He gives confirmation. Well done. Good job, son. Keep moving forward in that line. And the blessings happen. And the true blessings, the eternal blessings, the relational blessings. And I start seeing the hand of God leading me And my prayer becomes even more and more dependent on him and intimate and real. After adoration and supplication, and then comes appreciation, thanksgiving. Guys, when Jesus healed 10 lepers, guess what happened? These 10 lepers, he heals. He tells them what to do to be healed. They go and they obey and they do what they're told. And as they're on their way to doing what they're told, they all get healed. Of the 10 lepers, only one comes back and says thank you to Jesus. 10, can you imagine being healed of leprosy? And 9 of the 10 just go on their way. And the one comes back. And does anybody remember what's said to him? Your faith has healed you. You see, the blessing is much greater than just the physical blessing. He comes back to say thank you because he knows who it is who healed him. And he has to say thank you to his God because he knows. And he's coming back and the blessing is so increased because he's reminded of why and who. And there's that intimacy of relationship. Guys, we live in a world that doesn't say thank you. Hey, we don't. You know, I learned from my mother and my father to hold the door open for everyone. That if there's somebody behind you, first of all, is if you're coming at the same time to the door, you grab the door, you open it, you let them go first. That's how you be polite. Doesn't matter who they are. Can't tell you how many times, twice this last week, so it's fresh in my mind, but how many times through the years as I do that, you get some negative comment. I can open my own door. Or just the going through. Or the standing there, like I had this week, the standing there like, I'm not going until you go in. I mean, it's incredible. It doesn't matter if it's a man, a woman, a child. We should all treat each other the way we want to be treated. And what I say sometimes when I'm a little over annoyed and can't hold my tongue is listen, especially if they say something, I'll say, listen, my parents taught me to open the door for everyone. So I'm just trying to honor my mother. So when I get a little snotty, I put my little 2 cents in. So take that! Aren't I superior now in my feeling? Father, forgive me. We're eager to be blessed and slow to show our appreciation. Things need to change with that, don't we? Man, think what would happen if we got good at saying thank you to the people around us, to the relationships around us. John 8:31, the second part of 31, 32 says this, if you abide in my word, you are my disciples indeed, and you shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. So if we abide in this, if we continue to spend time in his word, guess what happens? The word changes us from the inside out, and we go from knowing about truth to knowing truth. And experiencing truth and experiencing God's truth personally and intimately, we're changed from the inside out. And now we have a different outlook. Now we can say, now we can love those who are persecuting us. Now we can love our enemies. Now we can be kind to people even when they're not being kind to us. Now when the cute little saying at the door happens, we don't have to retaliate. Now we can love when we're not being loved. Guys, I promise you this, spiritual warfare, it produces casualties. It does. Spiritual warfare produces casualties. And there's a lot of broken people around us, and hurt people. So you've got all this brokenness around you. Do you think it's going to be easy to make your way through life? It's going to be hard. It's going to be a struggle. We can replace worry with God's truth and God's love. Truth brings what? Freedom. We see it here. And the truth shall make you free. When we're living in the truth of God, guess what? Now I have a freedom. Now worry and anxiety aren't what define me. Now I've got this freedom in Christ, this lightness, because I know it's not my role to fix everything, but God's role, and even fix me. Man, now I get to take the deep breath and enjoy it. Now I don't have the weight on my shoulder. But even if I've tried to make it right and it's not right, I place it before God and I trust that in His time, and know that He's working on it now, that He's in control. Truth brings freedom. So if we're to conquer worry, it starts with right praying. And then we get in 8 and 9, and we'll have to go through that real quickly here, is right thinking, and the right thinking comes from the right praying, then right thinking, and then from the right thinking to right living. So verses 8 and 9, finally, brethren, whatever is true, whatever is noble, whatever things are just, whatever things are pure, whatever things are lovely, whatever things are good of good report, if there is any virtue and if there is anything praiseworthy, meditate on these things. Guys, think about that. We're called to meditate on these things. That's the right thinking. So we go from right praying to now to right thinking. We can have the right thinking because we've been doing the right praying. We're dependent on God, and now the enemy doesn't have that lead over us and that hold on us. And now whatever is true, whatever is right, whatever is noble, whatever is pure, now we can think about those things because we don't have that junk. Peace involves our heart and our mind. Wrong thinking leads to wrong feeling, and before long, the heart and the mind are pulled apart and strangled by the enemy, by worry, by anxiety. We must realize that that thoughts are real, how we feel is real and powerful. Now, how we feel may be wrong, because feelings aren't always right, but they're real. Our feelings aren't always right. We don't always have the whole picture. And often we feel things that aren't appropriate to the situation. But those feelings are extremely real. And so how do we deal with those feelings that are so powerful? We must realize that thoughts are real, feelings are real and powerful. And even though they can't be seen, they can be weighed and measured. They can be felt. So we must bring into captivity every thought to the obedience of Christ. And think about the things that are lovely. Sow a thought, reap an action. Sow an action, reap a habit. Sow a habit, reap a character. Sow a character, reap a destiny. I read that and I like that. Reap a destiny. Paul spells out in detail the things that we ought to think about as Christians. And then he gives us verse 9. The things which you learned and received and heard and saw in me, these do. Just do it. Just do it. And the God of peace will be with you. It goes from right praying to right thinking, here to right living. Because we have the right prayers that lead us to the dependence on Christ, and because that now our minds are open to right thinking and the enemy doesn't have that hold over our minds and thoughts and feelings, now the things which we learned and received from the Word of God, from our brothers, from prayer, and heard and saw in me, these do, and the God of peace will be with you. The God of peace. Peace is powerful. I want to end with this thought. Daniel, in the book of Daniel, he gives us a wonderful illustration of peace through prayer that leads to right thinking and right living. When the king announced that none of his subjects was to pray to anyone except the king because he had been given bad counsel, Daniel went to his room, he opened the windows, and he prayed before God. He was told by the king, you can't pray anymore to anybody but the king. Daniel's response is, the king's not my God. So he doesn't hide in secret. I loved it that he opened the windows and he prays out to his God. He prayed and he gave thanks before his God and he made prayer, supplication, and thanksgiving for who his God was. And the result was he had peace in the midst of a very difficult situation. Imagine this. You're told, if you pray to the one true God, if you're caught praying, we're going to kill you. We're going to kill you. We're going to throw you into a lion's den, and the lions are hungry. And his response is, my God's bigger than any lion. But this is a lion who's seeking who he may devour. My God is greater. And so he prays, and guess what happens? He gets thrown into the lion's den for praying. God, where are you? No. Daniel sleeps sound. He has a good night's sleep. The lions, the hungry lions, are all around him. Guess who doesn't sleep well that night? The king. The king is stressed out, anxious. Oh my goodness, not Daniel. He's one of my great advisors. The king has no peace. Why? He has no relationship with God. Daniel, who's with the lions? He's been thrown in the pit with them and they're hungry. But they're not hungry for him, because God is greater than the situation that we're in, than the situation that Daniel's in. It's the same. It's true for us too, guys. There's no situation that you are in that's greater than the God who's over that situation. There's no broken relationship that's greater than the love of God. There's no sin that you've committed. Now, guys, sometimes those relationships take a long time to heal. But I know this, God will be your strength and he'll be your wholeness in the midst of that broken situation. You do everything you can to make it right, but you can experience his peace. Guys, there's a difference between cope and cure. The world says, we can help you cope with this. God says, I'm the answer. I don't want you to just cope. I want you to be healed. I want you to be emotionally whole, spiritually strong and sound. I want to heal. God's not interested in having, it's not about getting through the day. Now, at times things are harder and he's helping us to manage. But when we continue to put ourselves before Christ, guess what he does? God's greater than the issue. And there comes a place where it goes from coping to healing. And when we get that healing, that's found in the Lord. God is greater. I hope you know this. God is greater than what you're going through. Whatever it is right now, I don't know specifically with most of you what you're going through. And with some of you, I know a little bit, but I don't know all of it. But God knows. And he sees the whole picture. He sees your perspective, the other people's perspective, and he's got the right perspective. And he understands it fully and completely. And you can trust him. And so coming to that place of praying and supplication and thanksgiving, of being in his presence, in awe of who he is, of making your request known before him and being thankful because he's answered your prayers, that's a good place to be. My hope and prayer is that we experience that peace together. That you experience it between him and in your deepest, hardest, most challenging moments. To them God willed to make known what are the riches of the glory of this mystery among the Gentiles, which is Christ in you, the hope of glory. You see, the victory, the mystery, the blessing, what we truly live for, where our answer is found, is Christ is in us. And that's our hope. Because we come to faith in Christ Jesus, now Christ now lives in us by faith. If you don't have faith in Christ, you've got no protection against the enemy. And guys, when you have no protection, you're going to get eaten up, but chewed up and swallowed. You're going to get devoured by the enemy. My hope and prayer is that every single person in this room, by the end of today, is in that place of having a real relationship with Jesus, comes to Jesus and says, forgive me for my sin. I choose to give you my life. I don't know what that means right now, but I give you my life. I trust you more than I trust me. I choose to follow you and stop following me. And when we come to that place of faith in Christ, man, now we have that victory. And the spoils of the war are ours. The spiritual healing, the emotional healing, the relational healing, the spoils of war are ours to experience. Because Christ gave us the victory. And it's a beautiful thing. That's my hope and prayer, is that we all experience that place. Let's close in prayer. Heavenly Father, Lord, thank you for your word. Change us from the inside out, Lord. I just pray that we would grow in our prayer life, Lord, that we would truly experience wholeness in the midst of the battle. Because we're depending on you, your word, prayer, your people. Lord, that you would just bring incredible transformation in our lives because of who you are and what you're doing and our new identity that is found in you. And because we have a new identity through faith in Jesus Christ, the enemy cannot, he can't touch us. He can lie to us and he can get us to believe lies, but he can't change our standing. Not even death's going to change our experience of being loved by God. Nothing can separate us from the love of Christ because of faith. So, Father, transform us for your glory. I just pray, Lord, for peace, which surpasses all understanding, to be experienced by people here who up to this day have not been experiencing peace. Lord, we pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.